see politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
The liberal globalist order is on its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks.
Querido, el pueblo está contigo. Querido, el pueblo está contigo.
A political earthquake just rocked the nation of Argentina. The party of their own MAGA president, who's busy making Argentina great again, exploded into power over the weekend and has shocked the international left-wing establishment all over the world. And Argentina isn't alone. The nation of Japan doesn't just have their first female prime minister, they now have one of their most right-wing governments ever. We're about to see how the MAGA revolution is sweeping across the globe and how what you did on November the 5th is changing the world like never before. It was a landslide victory for Argentine President Javier Milei and his Liberty Advances Party. They didn't just win Argentina's midterm elections. They obliterated their left-wing Peronist coalition that's dominated the country for generations. Milei's brand new party came in first by capturing an astonishing 41% of the vote, crushing the leftist coalition's 31%. His party won 64 seats in the lower house and 6 of the 8 contested Senate seats. Liberty Advances is now the single largest party in Argentina's Senate with 20 seats. But here's the detail that makes this seismic. Milei won in 16 of Argentina's 23 provinces. Even Buenos Aires, the liberal capital that voted against Milei by 14 points a couple of years back, even there, his candidate, the Liberty Advances candidate, actually won in Buenos Aires. That's not a political victory, gang. That's a political realignment. That's a mandate for radical free market transformation. Now, obviously, the political left is utterly shell-shocked over this. They can't believe it, and they weren't expecting it. Just like in 2016, right, with Hillary Clinton, all the polls leading up to the election showed that the left was running away with this. Of course, their media is just as patently pathetic and left-wing as liberal as ours, right? But one outlet reported that not even the most, pessimistic or dire leftists could have imagined that they would have experienced such a political massacre like they did over this weekend. All the former leftist leaders who've been the architects of the leftist coalition that ran against Javier Milei's brand new party, Liberty Advances, they all watched their political machine crumble in real time. But one thing everyone agrees on, the real winner in this election is, of course, none other than Javier Milei himself, who's become the new international standard bearer for small government libertarianism and free market capitalism. Now, while Milei's party didn't win an outright majority in their parliament, they're going to have to form a coalition with another party. There is no question that they are indeed in charge. The political winds are overwhelmingly on their side, which means that Milei and now his government, a government made up of his party, will be able to effectively pursue the massive economic overhaul reforms that were so key to Milei's winning the presidency a couple of years back. Since then, Milei has implemented one of the most radical free market economic transformations in modern Latin American history since taking office back in December of 2023. Argentina's presidency is very powerful. Again, very much like ours. It has tremendous power, and he was able to institute a reform program rooted in Austrian economics and libertarian principles that sought to reverse eight decades of state interventionism that's left Argentina with chronic hyperinflation, stagnant growth, and crushing debt. So these radical reforms involved dissolving or merging 10 different federal government ministries, reducing them from 18 departments to just 9, and abolishing hundreds of sub-agencies. He's fired tens of thousands of public employees. He's ended subsidies for electricity, gas, transport, and other public utilities. He's slashed welfare spending. He's frozen the money supply to combat the 300% inflation, along with a massive deregulation program to unleash the Argentine economy. It's the boldest political agenda in Latin America, next to Nayib Bukele and his radical transformation of El Salvador. Javier Milei wants to radically cut taxes, privatize a number of state-owned enterprises, and boost job creation. Again, there's just simply nothing as bold as these political reforms, anything like this in Latin America. And he's been incredibly successful. Monthly inflation fell from 25% to now just under 3% in a matter of 2 years. They have their first budget surplus in 14 years. Their economy is growing by 5%. Poverty fell from a peak of 55% to now just around 30%. And clearly, voters are positively responding to all of these radical reforms. Argentines love libertarianism. They love Austrian economics, and they love turning to the MAGA-inspired populist right. And as it turns out, they're not alone. Another equally seismic political earthquake just rocked the nation of Japan, and it's changing world politics like never before. Wait until you see this. But first, gang, let me ask you, what do you think you could do if you had the same insider trading information that Nancy Pelosi has, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Politicians like Pelosi have had access to insider trading secrets for decades now. They know exactly what stocks to buy and when to buy them. But guess what? You and I actually have access to that very same inside information. Thanks to a little SEC database, we can now see what and when corporate CEOs are buying up in real time, and then we get to piggyback on their trades to gain the same advantage for ourselves. Again, that's why you have got to click on the link below and sign up for a free training with me and my good friend Ross Givens. It's this Wednesday, October 29th. At 3 p.m. Eastern, Ross is an insider trading expert whose recommendations have led to investment returns of over 200%. Some have hit as high as nearly 1,500%. It's going to be absolutely amazing free training where you and I can learn how to trade with the exact same insider knowledge as these politicians, but we're going to do it legally and ethically. But don't wait. Seating registration is limited, so click on that link below right now. Register today, and I'll see you for an event that promises to change your life. While Argentina votes for economic freedom, another seismic shift is happening 11,000 miles away in Tokyo. On October 21st, Japan elected its first female prime minister in history. And unfortunately for the globalist left, she's no liberal feminist. Sanae Takaichi is a 64-year-old nationalist populist who cites Margaret Thatcher as her role model and who also once played drums in a heavy metal band. Obviously, she's a woman after my own heart. I played guitar in a heavy metal band back in the day. She's being called Japan's Iron Lady, an ultra-conservative who's about to push the world's third-largest economy dramatically to the right. She is a staunch advocate for the traditional family. She radically opposes LGBT and same-sex marriage. She wants to preserve the male-only imperial succession. And the big one, she is a staunch advocate for stricter immigration policies at precisely the moment globalists insist Japan needs more foreign workers. Now, of course, I'm sure many of you know Japan is facing a very severe demographic crisis. The population has declined for 16 consecutive years. Birth rates are collapsing. The workforce is shrinking. And what's the left solution? Mass immigration, open borders, obviously, right? Takeuchi's solution is to preserve Japanese culture and national identity while addressing the crisis through different means. So she's committed to ending illegal migration and visa violations, imposing severe limits on foreign land acquisitions, especially by Chinese nationals, and implementing stricter border regulations. She's appointed another star player on the international stage of the rising right, Kimi Onoda, who's an anti-immigration hardliner. She's been tasked to oversee a new migration system that will focus on border security and only allowing in those who want to support and harmonize with Japanese culture rather than undermine it. But this administration isn't just about controlling immigration. Prime Minister Takeuchi was a protege of the late great Shinzo Abe, who was assassinated in July of 2022. And in continuity with Abe, Takeuchi advocates revising Japan's pacifist constitution, strengthening their military, and taking a harder line against Chinese expansion. She regularly visits the controversial Yasukuni Shrine, which honors Japanese war dead, including convicted war criminals, a gesture that it absolutely infuriates China and South Korea, but it energizes Japanese nationalists. Now, what's so key to get here is that from Buenos Aires to Tokyo, voters are choosing national sovereignty over borderless globalism. From Tokyo to Rome, we're seeing that they're choosing conservative women to lead that charge. And it's all part of a worldwide movement that scholars call civilizational populism. Civilizational populism is, in effect, a mass backlash against globalist policies and elites, where more and more populations around the world are reasserting their fundamental right to exist as distinct peoples with distinct cultures, customs, and traditions, and the growing recognition that globalist elites want to erase those distinctions forever. So that's where the populism comes in, right? Populism is basically an inversion of the traditional political divide, which is generally horizontal. It's left versus right, conservative versus liberal. In our case, it's Democrat versus Republican. Populists invert that divide. Populism shifts that horizontal divide to a vertical divide. It's now the people versus the political class, the everyday man versus the establishment elite, the ordinary citizen versus the oligarch, right? The ruled versus the rulers. But populism itself, being more structural, doesn't tell us very much about the beliefs of the movement, other than that they don't care for their political class, their ruling elites. And so that's where civilizationalism comes in. Civilizationalism fills in the structure by providing the rationale for why you have this new political, vertical political divide. And it becomes widely apparent that our worldwide permanent political class is undermining our border security and our national sovereignty, our economic security, our cultural security, all for their own gain, all for their own power and affluence. And so it's incumbent upon the people to rise up and defend their unique cultures, customs, and traditions, their national sovereignty, their border security, their economic security, their cultural identity against a globalist elite. They're doing everything they can to undermine those securities and identities for their own political and economic gain. That's, in a nutshell, that's civilizational populism. And it's spreading like wildfire all over the world, from the MAGA movement here in the States to the rise of Hindu nationalism in India, from the return of Ottoman ideals in Turkey to the rise of the new right in Europe, from the booming libertarianism in Buenos Aires to the surging nationalism in Tokyo. Everywhere we look, civilizational populism is thriving. The globalist left knows it. They know their days are numbered. But after what just happened in Argentina and Japan, whatever time they thought they still had left just got markedly shorter. Do you want to ask me your biggest questions and maybe win free merch while you're at it? Well, join my Courageous Patriot Club and be part of the uncensored Monday night Q&A, all for only $10 a month at turley.pub/club.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code GOALS at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code GOALS. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.